Tangerine Raptors basketball.
Vegas, they're off to the playoffs again, and they're in a fight with Colorado. They lost to Colorado last night. It was a great game, close game. And here's the head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, one of our favorites, Peter DeBoer. How you doing, Peter?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
We're doing good, Pete. Before we get into your situation last night and the amount of players you had to use, Tom Wilson made a lot of headlines, as you know, last week. And you coach Ryan Reeves. Besides systematic stuff that the team and you present to Ryan Reeves, is there any kind of dialogue on to what he does, or he kind of makes up his own rules out there and just goes about his business?
You know, the best guys at that job in the world, you don't have to say anything. They as you're thinking it on the bench, they're hopping over the boards and getting it done. You know, I remember coaching Mike Richardson Jr. and, you know, if someone, you know, he was a great player, he scored 100 points, but, you know, if someone on the other team was running around grabbing momentum for their team, you know, next thing you know, Richie would be in a scrap with him. And you know, it was almost as I was thinking, geez, I wish someone would take care of that guy. You know, next thing you know, the gloves are off. And it's unsaid with the guys that really know, you know, how to do that job well.
Yeah, Pete, we've been talking all season about how unique of a year it is as far as playing the same teams over and over. Obviously, up here, we're focused on the North Division. Has it been good or bad as a coach, just basically preparing for the same amount of teams and the guys that you're really ultimately going to face in the playoffs?
Well, it's funny you ask that question, because I was texting with Ole a couple weeks ago, and I was thinking when I got done with him, I wonder how he would do in the pandemic. You check into a hotel, you go and sit in your room, you have no one to talk to, nobody to go to dinner with, no one to have a beer with, and then you show up at the rink. It might have shortened his career by 5 or 10 years.
I don't mind my own company, Pete, you know that.
Yeah, room service still available. That's all that matters on the road.
You know what? It's been interesting. I can tell you the fact that they're opening it up for the playoffs because most of the guys are vaccinated is huge. It doesn't sound like a huge deal, but it is. It's been a really long year. The condensed schedule, even though the travel has been within the division, you're still, with the condensed schedule, you're either playing or you're traveling somewhere. You're literally playing every other day. And going out for dinner sounds like a small thing, but it's huge in the NHL world. You know, you check in and that's your social time to go out and relax. So, you know, we're glad it's opening back up. We do have other divisions outside of the North. I know you guys don't understand that there with Toronto and Montreal and everybody, but right. we are playing some hockey out here and some pretty good hockey.
Well, what comes with that new access of freedom? Like you mentioned dinners on the road, but does testing come to an end? I mean, what can you tell us about how life is going to change?
Well, from a coaching perspective, we're allowed to have in-person meetings now. You know, we haven't been able to do that. We've been taping them and putting them on iPads, and the guys watch them on their own. So, you know, it's as small as they've removed the partitions in the dressing room. And it doesn't sound like a big deal, but with the partitions up, I could not stand at a board between periods and address the team and have everybody see the board, you know, what I was talking about on the board, and now you can. So, you know, from a coaching perspective, we're, you know, it's way, way closer to normal, way more communication, way more meeting time, you know, and from a player perspective, you know, for them, you know, I just think the fact that they can sit around and either eat a meal or play cards or hang out in each other's room, you know, that's huge for them mentally.
With Peter DeBoer, head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights. So that'll be happening come playoff time. Another thing that'll be happening come playoff time is the salary cap won't exist anymore, so you can fill out a full game sheet and load up your bench. Last night you had 15 skaters. It's a great game against a really quality team in Colorado. But how have the players I guess, embrace this reality. We know why it happens. It's a salary cap issue. It's an injury issue. It's only going to be a couple more games. But it's happened to you guys a couple times this year, and last night was somewhat extreme. Do the players complain? Do they understand? You know, what's that experience like last night?
You know what? Our players have been great. I think they understand that there was a price to pay to go out and sign Alex Pietrangelo in the summer and try and give us an opportunity to win a Stanley Cup, to have two starting goaltenders like we do this year, which has been invaluable in the condensed schedule. So they knew there was a price to pay, and you know, almost every night that we paid it, it was 19 instead of 20, and that still is a price, because you know, this is a four-line league, and especially with a condensed schedule, you know, that does take a toll on you. But last night was extreme. It was almost a perfect storm of injuries and cap. I think it's the first time in 10 years that a team's played three short to start a game. And unfortunately, you know, it was us playing for the President's Trophy last night. But I can't tell you how proud I was of how our group handled it. They didn't complain. They showed up, played a hell of a hockey game, probably deserved better. And, you know, it was a great sign.
Pete, you mentioned the goalies. Are you going to flip a coin to see who goes in the first game, or how are you going to manage that?
Well, we're going to we've rotated basically for the last 2 months since Leonard came back from concussion pretty consistently. Well, very consistently. We haven't moved off that rotation. We'll get through the last regular season game tomorrow, and then we'll sit down with everybody and come up with a plan. But whatever that looks like, both guys are going to play. I think it's critical that, you know, we have the ability to throw a fresh starter in there every night or every other night, and that's a huge advantage for us. We'd be crazy not to use during the playoffs.
I know you said at the starting of the interview that we pretty much focus on the North Division, and there are teams playing down south, but have you been watching the highlights and seeing what 97's doing in Edmonton? And basically, are you as much in amazement as everyone else has been talking about with what McDavid has been able to accomplish this season?
You know what? I've seen him up close and personal since the day he stepped into the NHL in the Pacific Division, you know, with being in San Jose and then obviously here in Vegas. So, you know what? We see him quite a bit. And, you know, so I'm not amazed. I think he's just gotten better and better every year. I can tell you, I've had my God moments on the bench going back 3-4 years when he was playing, you know, and starting in Edmonton, going wow, and every year, you know, it seemed like there was a couple more of those every time you played them. So this guy's trajectory, I think that's the scary part. It's still going up. You know, he's still got some runway left here before I think he plateaus into the player he's going to be, and that's a scary thought.
We're chatting with Peter DeBoer, head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas off to the playoffs again. I mean, every year since you come in the league, you go to the playoffs.
It's been a real grind to have success there.
No, it's incredible. Not that we're jealous or envious or anything up here. And, you know, Vegas, full disclosure, Pete, I wasn't sure it was going to work. In fact, I probably was a little bit more forceful with that in terms of the fans, in terms of the culture. But now you got the football team down there. There's a report that maybe there could be a baseball team coming there at some point. I mean, you're a Canadian guy. You grew up here. You made your bones in the OHL. What is it about Vegas, in your opinion, that works? Like, what has caught you off guard? What have you been most impressed by in terms of the market and them just embracing the sport of hockey?
You know what's been amazing is from the outside looking in, when I was in San Jose and they came in, my first reaction was, If it works, it'll be because the visiting team brings 5,000 people to the game because they want a weekend in Vegas, or the tourists in town are going to come see a game. You know, I coached in Florida, and that's what they hoped for, that the Snowbirds and the Canadians would come out and watch the games. But when you coach here, you realize 99% of that building is Vegas residents. And they are frantic about this team. It's fantastic. I coached, you know, mainly in the best junior market in North America, in Kitchener, Ontario, with how passionate they are and how they support that team. And it's basically the NHL version of that. Vegas is not a big town from a community point of view, but everybody has a Vegas plate or a Vegas jersey. It's Vegas Golden Knights fever here, and it's all locals. And that's what's surprising and so great about it.
If Shea Theodore played north of the border, would it be a slam dunk for the Norris? Because he might win
It'd be pretty close. You know, I think, and, you know, I'd put Mark Stone in that category too for the Selke, you know, and or slash the Hart conversation. You know, I think you guys know that that some of these places don't get the press and the people talking about them as much as others. You know, we're happy to have him. He's world-class, and he's another guy like McDavid that's still peaking. He's still not where he's going to be, which is great for us.
Pete, before we get you out of here, as you know, I do a power ranking of the best hair amongst coaches.
I've heard.
Jack Capuano always is at number one. Do you have a submission for the North Division besides yourself at number two? I got to think I might put Bednar. I put Bednar at two. Do you like that or not?
Oh, you're unbelievable. I'm not going there. And, okay. You know what? We'll keep those conversations private.
Okay, buddy. All right. Well, we'll let him continue to hold that pedestal then for you, for all of us, for that matter, because no one else really touches that topic out of alone in that.
Yeah. Well, I will say the only good thing he's still got is his hair.
He's got new teeth. We're out of time.
Well, I guess we'll leave it there. Good luck the rest of the way here and into the playoffs. We'll be tracking you, and I'm sure we'll catch up again down the road. We appreciate it as always. Thank you, Pete.
All right, guys. Yeah.
There's Peter DeBoer, the head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights.
Could you imagine, like, he has to coach against all of these guys. You imagine if he was like, yeah, Todd Reardon had a rough go in Washington, you know?
But I wanted a positive one. I thought Bednar in Colorado has got a real good set of hair on him.
He's let it go gray, though, which is fine. I mean, it's a natural gray, but
there's
like
a bit of a Clooney vibe to it.
It
and
is.
I think, but he'll never unseat my guy in Ottawa as number one. Every time I kind of revisit the list, Jack Capuano is a staple at one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful head of hair on Jack Capuano. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
We've been doing so much ranking, you know, Leafs rank one and all. We should revisit the salad rebuild, because I did see a guy in Edmonton on a rival station last night who was a friend of the show, a side view.
I caught that too. That went viral last night.
Tabor-like.
Yeah. He might need the salad rebuild. So, yes, I mean, we might have to revisit that, because there are some. I was going to say Pete DeBoer's assistant coach, Ryan McGill, he's got fantastic hair.
Yeah.
So there is some. I mean, maybe
a slam dunk for him. He could have named his own assistant coach.
That's true.
And he never did it.
Well, one of these days, maybe during the offseason, if they win a cup, I'm sure we could get him all, you know, feeling good and put him in a position where he'd probably be willing to go down that road. But before the playoffs start, I can understand why he's not willing to do that necessarily. But
yeah, probably was inappropriate, but it doesn't matter.
As you say, Hayes,
you got to ask the question.
Yeah, I have to give Hayes full credit, because you like danced around like, I might have been a little hard on Vegas. You're going to the playoffs.
On a crusade about how awful the decision was, how stupid it was, if I ever went to Vegas, I'd never want to go to a game. And I admit I was wrong on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I was dead wrong on that. A lot of it was coming from a position of national pride as well, that I felt like Quebec City should get a team first, that Toronto should have a second team, and I still maintain that in many ways, but I got to give credit to Vegas. I mean, they've shown up.
Noodles has done games there. We all went to a game there. This is just my opinion. You two have your own, because of how many buildings we've been into. That was the loudest, best in-game experience I've ever seen in my life. And I've been to a lot. Played 800 in the league, never seen anything like that.
Yeah, no,
it's incredible. It really is amazing. And that's the thing about being from Vegas, like DeBoer just pointed out. A lot of it is local members of the Las Vegas society. And
sure.
Yet they embrace it because they understand that's what comes with the program. Like, that's right. The city they chose to live in. And it's somewhat of a myth that anyone that lives in Vegas lives on the Strip and you're a booze bag and you're at the casinos and, you know, and that's not true. They all live on the outside of the Strip, barely go downtown, if at all. And I'm generalizing to an extent, but you understand you live in Vegas, so you're going to get the Vegas show, you know, you show up at the rink and it's going to be loud and there's going to be, you know, dancers and bands and giveaways, and the MC is yelling and screaming, and there's celebrities showing up doing different things. It's a wild scene, but I was thoroughly impressed. I had a great time.
We had such a great night, though, when the three of us were there for the wedding. Like, going to the game, and it was a show. Do you remember? It was a little bit like, we almost thought, like, this is weird. Like, it was like a theater show before the game with, you know, guy with the sword, and the only thing that caused you to come out of
Vegas
your seat was
dancers and warm up.
Hayes was mad at the owner and the helicopter.
Bill Foley, he had to be involved, and it was I thought it was a bit heroic personally.
Right.
But you know what also sticks out that probably should be an obvious, and it is now clearly, but they put the rink in the right spot.
Yeah,
like,
no,
we talked
kidding,
about this
dude.
For years. Absolutely. About, you know, Arizona, it's too far out. And this rink, Ottawa, is too far out. It's on the Strip. We walked there from the MGM Grand.
Mm-hmm. I played in Raleigh, and there's a nice little downtown area. Lots of people leave work downtown. They're down there. And they went out to this state fairgrounds area. And it's like, why'd you do that, man? Let people get off work and walk right into the building and get drunk and watch a hockey game.
It's so short-sighted. It's always the same thing. It's they get a tax break or they get a cheap piece of the land.
Exactly.
And then 10 years later, they're like, oh, what did we do this for? Because you're a buffoon. You're an idiot. Because you wanted to cheap out of the front end, and now you're screwed at the back end. That's
so
what happens all
on.
The time.
Like, you look in Canada, like, the Leafs have a great situation.
Perfect.
It's right downtown.
The Habs, like, right downtown.
You know, like, even Calgary, Edmonton, the Habs, like, all of these, you know, Ottawa's an outlier. Like, it's a 40-minute trip from downtown with traffic. You know, it's a trip. And that's the thing. You've got to plan if you're going to have a couple beers. I don't know. Like, you have a couple beers in Toronto, you can jump on the People Mover. You can take a Uber right there. Like, you know, that's
they know they
the
got it wrong.
Challenge.
Like, Ottawa knows they got it wrong. Melnick's been trying to get back downtown for years now.
I'd love to see the rink downtown just for the fan base. They can enjoy a Tuesday night game not having
What
a
about
plan,
free agents?
You know?
Free agents. If I was a free agent, and I love Pierre. I love Ottawa. I love the area. But I don't want to live in Kanata, man. I'm sorry. I don't. I want to live in downtown Ottawa if I'm a 25-year-old dude. And it's a cool nightlife. It's a cool scene down there.
It is great.
But I don't want to live on a farm in Kanata. I'm not a farmer.
No,
I'm not
that,
a farmer.
That,
My
that's
uncle
a big
is.
Part
he
of
lives
it.
There. But I'm not.
Yep. That's a big part of it. And Vegas got that right. The football team got it right, too. They're right there. They're a little bit further off the Strip, but not far. And I believe they're putting – aren't they building like a shuttle underground that just goes up and down the Strip to the football stadium? So
awesome.
It's going to connect with every casino and every hotel. So you just walk downstairs, you jump on the shuttle, boom, and you know it's just a matter of time before that goes all the way up to the airport. And like, that's the way Vegas is going to work. It's going to operate. Yeah. And I give them full credit. Like, I was skeptical, you know, to put it lightly. I wasn't sure it was going to work. I do think it helps. They went to a cup final their first year, and they've been so good.
I am not
convinced it's going to be, you know, everyone's so happy and, wow, this is awesome down here when they win 18 games and finish dead last in a decade. Because that happens. Every team goes through it.
Yeah.
But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. And maybe by that point they've already, you know, established themselves, right? They've rooted themselves, and they have enough of a hardcore fan base
But
where it's not a concern for them.
You're bang on, but at that point when they have to cycle through and they, you know, these contracts look bad at the end of them and all of that type of stuff, that's where Vegas is still a great place to go, and doesn't matter. I'm going to go watch the Leafs play.
Absolutely.
On a Thursday, and I'm going into Vegas. Like, that's, you know, that's still where it comes back to our initial thought process and what Pete was talking about going. I thought it was just going to be rival fans coming in to visit Vegas and going to a game. They might get that scenario if the team goes south.
I think that's probably going to still be the sales pitch.
Right.
Like, I think it's been established for people outside of that market that's a bucket list item, right?
Yeah.
It's a bucket list item. I would suggest if you're a Leaf fan, if you've never seen the Leafs play in Montreal, that should be atop your bucket list. It's as cool as it gets. The history, the city, everything that comes with it. And, you know, Vegas would probably be in the top three for sure, you know, top five. Yeah. You know, I've never seen the Leafs play at the Garden in New York. I'd love to go do that. Love to see them play in Chicago, for that's just an incredible scene. But Vegas is top three, top five destination in the NHL. And full credit to them for pulling that off.